Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today I'm going to add a little bit more to this series on the St. Malachy prophecy debunked, otherwise known as this whole Petros Romanos thing. Is our current pope the prophesied last pope by this St. Malachy? All right, and we've, as you guys have already seen, you're probably listening to the series in order, many of you, and so this is all fresh in your mind, but St. Malachy, this guy came up with 112, allegedly came up with these 112 short phrases about the 112 popes from his day forward, okay? And as we learned earlier, if this is a little bit of review to you, and then another guy comes along, Benedictine Arnold de Wion in 1595. He's the one that actually published these 112 prophecies. Okay, and as we already talked about, guys, all the prophecies that were in the past, as far as from Arnold de Wion's point of view, everything from 1595 back was spot on, amazingly accurate. Okay, every last one of them was spot on. Every one of them, well, not every one of them, but from 1594 or 1595 forward, it's a total mismatch, disaster, it's a train wreck, okay? And you have to try really hard to stretch and make them fit. And by the way, guys, you know, I could sit down and I could take every single one of these, just about, of these prophecies and find a way to make it apply to my own life. Okay, it's not much different than your silly zodiac prophecies, if you will, that you find in the newspaper every day. You can just close your eyes and pick one and just read that one, okay? And somehow throughout the day, by the end of the day, you look at it and say, oh, it was so amazing. It was so prophetic. It knew. The stars knew. You know, and you can make it fit yourself. All right, so now, today, I want to talk about Pope Francis, okay? Pope Francis, otherwise known as Jorge Mario Bergoglio, all right? The guy was originally a cardinal in Argentina, but anyway, he's now our pope, and everybody's freaking out, and we have Chris Putnam and Tom Horn saying that this Catholic prophecy came true. Now, first of all, I would like to say that there are verses in the Old Testament of the Bible that do say that God will allow false prophets to have accurate prophecies from time to time to test his people. And so I don't really, I mean, even if this prophecy was actually not a fraud and was a real bona fide prophecy and it did nail it, that wouldn't bother me a whole lot, okay? Likewise, I guess I would like to add to that that this pope very well could be the last pope. This prophecy, even though it is a fraud, could actually nail it because we do, guys, I'm going to strap on my tinfoil hat here for a minute, but it really does appear like we might be in the last days. And this really could be the last pope. I guess I'm leaning away from that. I think that many things still need to happen, but a lot of things are lining up on the world stage here. And so he might actually be the last pope. But I, you know, going back, this is still a fraud. This prophecy was made up by Arnold de Wion. Remember how we talked about in 1595, a different pope, one of his friends, was hopefully going to be elected, according to Arnold de Wion. He really wanted this guy to be elected. He was a good friend of his. And the prophecy that he wrote for the next pope matched his friend and not the actual pope that got elected. It didn't match the pope that got elected at all, but it did match his friend. Now, going forward, Tom Horn and Chris Putnam are making a pretty good stink about this current Pope Francis. Here are the three lines of reasoning that I can pull out of what they're saying, that they have three different arguments as to why this Pope Francis actually does fulfill this last pope, the prophecy about this last pope, Pope Petros Romanos. Again, I want to reread the prophecy here. It says, Peter the Roman, who will nourish the sheep in many tribulations, when they are finished, the city of seven hills will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people. The end. All right. So they are pointing at several different things, Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. And I don't doubt their salvation, guys, okay? I'm not bashing them. I do get nervous when they add so much credibility to the Catholic Church and they don't qualify what they're saying. They don't stop and say, friends, we don't agree with the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Every once in a while, and this is the thing, I have caught them a few times saying that, and that's awesome. I've listened to many radio interviews, and in many of them, they don't stand their ground. They don't stop and say, hey, friends, this is a prophecy coming from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church teaches many things that are not Christian. It is another gospel. It is a works-based gospel, and it has many problems. And when people follow the precepts of the Catholic Church, they will not be saved. I think many Catholics do get saved in spite of the Catholic Church because they're reading the Bible. But when they believe as the Catholic Church teaches, they won't be saved. Plain, pure, and simple. It is a works-based gospel. It is another gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. If we or an angel from God preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. That's what's happening here, friends. And I don't hear Chris Putnam and Tom Horn qualifying and trying to stake down and say, hey, guys, this is a heretical, almost cult-like system. This is an anti-Christ system. At the very least, I would love to hear them say that, at the very least. But I have heard them say it, but not very often. And it causes a lot of people to get confused. And that bothers me. But anyway, they point out the fact that Pope Francis is a Jesuit. That is something to be concerned about, friends. And this is what they say. Talking about the book Petros Romanos, Tom Horn said, this prophecy implies, talking about the prophecy of Saint Malachy, it implies this pope will reaffirm the authority of the Roman pontiff over the church and will emphasize the supremacy of the Roman Catholic faith and the Roman Catholic Church above all other religions and denominations, and its authority over all Christians and all peoples of the world. Yeah, watch out. Friends, there are Jesuits popping up out of the woodwork everywhere right now. There are Jesuits. Many of our well-known news anchors on TV are starting to come forward and say, I am Jesuit trained. Our new CIA director is Jesuit. One of the most influential men to get President Barack Hussein Obama elected is a Jesuit. Who are these guys? What in the world is a Jesuit? Friends, the Jesuits are a militant order that was started by a man, Francis Xavier, and he started this Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, to counter the Reformation. When the Christians started coming out of the Catholic Church, reforming their faith, bringing it back to the biblical form of Christianity. They were protesting. Well, the Jesuits are a militant order that was started to counter the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation. All right? And the ultimate aim of the Jesuits is to bring all faiths under the authority of the Pope. In fact, rather to bring the entire world under the authority of the Pope. Okay, so be alarmed. Be very alarmed. We have ourselves the first Jesuit Pope. That's something to be concerned about. Now, anyway, God's in control. It's okay. The next thing that they point out is that he named himself Francis, Pope Francis. You know, the popes always take on a name of a previous saint or somebody. And it is claimed that Francis, he's naming himself or identifying himself with Francis of Assisi. And Francis of Assisi was not a sissy. Bad joke. Saint Francis is often referred to as the saint of animals and care of animals. You see him at a lot of vet clinics. You see a little statue outside with a guy with a bald spot on his head, lovingly caressing a bunny rabbit or something like that. He's always got animals in his arms. That's Saint Francis. And supposedly Pope Francis was identifying himself with that Francis. But others see something a little more sinister. They think that he's identifying himself with Francis Xavier. Francis Xavier was one of the men who started the Jesuit order, the Society of Jesus. Okay. And this Francis Xavier might be the one that Pope Francis is actually identifying with. And I actually lean in that direction. Whatever the case, people are making a big deal about the fact that Saint Francis of Assisi, his full name is, I'll try to pronounce this correctly, Francesco di Pietro di Bernardone. The middle name of Francis of Assisi is Pietro, Peter. Okay, so there you see a Peter the Roman connection. In other words, this is such a stretch. Our current Pope, Pope Francis, is connected with Petros Romanos, Peter the Roman, because he chose the name Francis, and Francis of Assisi has a middle name of Peter. Really? They're going to go that far? Come on. That is such a stretch. And so moving on, then they also want to make a big deal about, well, Petros Romanos, as in Peter the Roman. Well, Pope Francis, otherwise known as Jorge Mario Bergoglio, was born of Italian parents. Okay, so they're saying, well, see, he's a Roman. Well, not so fast. He was actually born in Argentina, which doesn't really make him a Roman, does it? He has Italian parents. Okay, it's one of those things. You have to play around with a person's life, just like the zodiac in the newspaper, your astrology. You play around with it long enough and hard enough and twist a few things and stretch a few things, and you can make it fit anybody. And that's exactly what's happened here. I just wanted to add to this series and give you those little facts, let you know what people are currently saying about this Petros Romanos prophecy. And they're actually claiming that it is fulfilled through Pope Francis. And they're using that flimsy evidence to draw that parallel. I'm not going to lend credibility to a Catholic prophecy that was actually most likely, and the evidence is all there. Of course, none of us were there. We didn't have cameras, and we didn't get a signed statement from Arnold DeWion, but it really does appear to be a fraud. Whatever the case, there you have it. There's some updated information. Friends, if you like what I'm doing and you would like to help support youth apologetics training, you can do that by sending donations to P.O. Box 2392, Loveland, Colorado. That's Loveland. It's all one word. Colorado, 80539. You guys can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. I love talking to you guys, and I love getting ideas about future series ideas. Also, I love it when you guys contact me with information that I can use in future series. So anyway, with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.